Good morning. Let's turn our Bible to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. Well, I guess if you got any outside work to do, this probably be the week to do it, huh? 80s, supposed to be every day. Of course, probably the forecast will be revised many times, so it's one of those things. I don't know what you call it, where they put letters on it, like a sign thing, out a little bit east of Sydney out there, and it says the early bird catches the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. I don't know why that kind of struck me, you know, because the first mouse is sort of incapacitated, you know. But it might be the week to be the early bird this week. I was kind of surprised at how long the days are now. It seems like it just happened like that. You know, like sunrise is like 6 o'clock, sunset's after 9 p.m., and there's a lot of daylight hours. I guess it's like you can get these little calendars on the internet that show the sunrise and the sunset for different places. And I think the earliest on there was like 5:58 for the sunrise, but, you know, we've got the next, probably 7 weeks are the longest days of the year. a lot of hours of daylight, but the sunshine sure is beautiful. It's very beautiful. So Luke chapter 6 here, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your love for us, and Father, I just pray that we would humble ourselves, Lord, that we might just really see your truth in our lives day by day. Lord, it's more than, you know, it's more than just Sunday, but we appreciate that, and we're thankful for it. And Lord, we just pray to be sober-minded, that Father, you might control our thinking, and Lord, that whatever ails us or struggles we might have, Father, that we can see just how good you are in bringing us through it. And Lord, that just today, as we look into your Word a little bit about foundation, Lord, that you'd just help us to allow you to search us and try us, and Lord, just see if there's any way, Father, where we're just not resting in you in the different situations and circumstances of life. Just guide our time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46. Luke 6, 46, the Bible says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to him, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And the Lord just kind of brought to my mind this week a little bit about foundations. And it kind of stemmed from the fact that one of my foundations has been ailing with this stepping on the nail deal. And just this week, yeah, I got a good one right by my toe. But anyway, just this week, it seems like my foot's getting back to normal a little bit. You know, it's only been 2 weeks, but it's not quite there. But, you know, it kind of got me thinking about how, you know, when we have a hurt foot, it can be kind of similar to, you know, if we don't have the right foundation spiritually. You know, for about, well, the day it happened, for probably 2 hours, I was using crutches because it hurt so bad. But it was kind of weird because the day it happened, I could feel it happening, but I have pretty good arch supports in my feet, and so normally when I step on a nail, it doesn't have any impact because it just runs into that hard plastic. Well, it got above where those extend to, and you could feel it going in, and you could feel that it went pretty far. But it was kind of funny because I probably went on for like 2 hours working, hobbling around until it like just got to the point where it was unbearable, just unbearable. But you know, that's kind of how things work sometimes spiritually. You know, we have a struggle spiritually, and we maybe fall aside and don't pray like we should, don't read as we should, and you know, things seem to go on like normal, but then all of a sudden something hits, and it really can debilitate us. It really can debilitate us. And it also brings to mind, you know, out at the sheriff's camp, I think I mentioned this last week. It just seems like so many guys, they come out there, and they come out there. And you know, first of all, we need to pray. You know, we really do. But sometimes I just really wonder, why are they coming out there for? You know, what is their motive? You know, what are they trying to get out of it? You know, there's a couple guys out there right now that I got. Most of my seventh graders do a better job of handling themselves than these guys do. And it was kind of humorous yet tragic at the same time because on Thursday, as I was leaving, the two guards out there, you know, I'm mentioning how it can be similar to trying to manage a seventh grade classroom. And I said, by now, my seventh grade students handle themselves better than these guys do because I've been with them for so long. You know, and the guy's like, I knew that. I just needed somebody to tell me that these guys are about 12 years old or act like seventh graders or whatever. You know, and it's true. But I really wonder sometimes, you know, what are they coming out for? You know, but you know, that's a thought that I just need to get out of my mind because it doesn't even matter why they're coming out. All I need to do, you know, and Brother Jeremy, Brother Stephen, we got that. We just need to give them truth. And it's their decision whether or not they want to follow it. And I remember a guy named Dan. I think he was out. I don't know if he was out there right at the beginning, but he came out every time, every time, every time, every time. And he seemed very attentive. He seemed very attentive. He seemed very willing. He did Bible courses. He turned them in. But you know, within a matter of weeks after he got out, he was in prison, not in jail. Just he was in prison. And it brings to mind this passage here, verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep. You know, it's not enough to do a surface type of a fix. You know, we've learned that in our house. You know, we've had to dig deep in certain places and get rid of junk and, you know, redo it. But spiritually speaking, it's not like we can just do a facade. You know, it's not like we can just fix the outward and make ourselves look good because it's only going to be worse in the end. But we have to dig deep. We have to have a new heart. We have to have a transformed mind. We have to dig deep and lay the foundation on a rock, and we know the rock is Jesus. But so often I think those guys are like verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And it's kind of, well, when I allow myself, which I try not to, think about it, you know, it can be discouraging. Because as I was telling Brother Steve out here before study school, the guys do not act like they really plan to do anything of what I tell them. You know, I mean, they're living immorally. They're living with a girl. You know, one guy, the girl he's living with, they got three children. They're not married. You know, another guy, I don't know if he's got two daughters or a son and a daughter. No, he's got a son, I think it is. And you try to help him understand that, you know, let's turn there, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, just try to give him some Bible. And it's just like a foreign idea to them. Morality is in America in 2010 is whatever I want it to be. And really what morality is for most people is it's whatever I can get away with. It's whatever I can get away with. But Hebrews 13 and verse 5, Hebrews 13, 5, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. and try to help them understand that. You know, you're putting yourself in a place where God cannot do things for you. He's going to judge you instead. But it's just an attitude of, you know what, I've been doing it my whole life. The people around me do it. I'm just going to keep on doing the same things. You know, and I heard a definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. You know, how many of those guys are going to end up back in jail? I'm going to stop. You know, one guy talking about doing drugs on a daily basis. And, like, thinking it's, like, really, you know, like, I'm cool. You know, but it's all, and then back in Luke 6 here, but it's, the reason is because they're not intending to do the things that they're taught. And you know, a big part of that is they're not even saved to begin with. and you know, with the stepping on the nail deal, you know, I couldn't do the things I normally could do. You know, just to even try to go for a walk. You know, that didn't work for a while. But the thing though is that if I could have, I would have done it. You know, and we have to have that same humility. And let's turn to James chapter 4. James 4, you know, we have to die to self. It's not a once for all event. It's a moment by moment event. You know, the Bible talks about dying daily, but it's even more frequently than that, because it only takes a moment for some, you know, for the, well, the little, I'm assuming we're getting part two of the little out of place thing today. Are we? Did anybody get a bulletin? We getting part two today of that? Okay. So I'm looking forward to that. You know what? What's out of place? It only takes a part of a second for something to get out of place in our mind. I mean, it's the difference between something happening and us thinking of Jesus and Him, and us thinking of ourselves, or us thinking about taking up somebody else's offense. But in James chapter 4 here, verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? This is where the problem starts. You know, it's not just fightings among people, it's fightings within ourselves. Verse 2, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because ye ask not. You ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Verse 5, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. See, if there's a distance involved, spiritually speaking, God didn't go anywhere. God didn't go anywhere. We got to draw nigh to Him, because we are the ones that have created the problem. But so often, you know, we got the choice there in Luke 6. Hear them and put them into practice, and we're going to be on a solid rock. Hear them and don't put them into practice, and we're going to be destroyed. But so much of that is because of the world. And we see here in verse 4, the latter part of the verse, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Try to talk to those guys about that on Thursday night. You know, the way things go sometimes is very different. You can be out there one night and the guys are kind of somewhat serious and they share things that are appropriate, and other times, and this is how it was Thursday night, it got to a point where I just kind of had to take over because of the nonsense that was going back and forth. I was trying to talk to him about the world, you know, and how about television and movies and music, it's in a bad way. You know, and then they started listing off different movies. Oh, well, that's a really good movie. Oh, that's a really good movie. And I'm like, and they were talking about this one movie where a guy is trying to train a boy. And it's like all about being immoral. And they're like, oh, that was a really good. I'm like, guys, think about it. How is this a really good movie? Well, it's because, number one, they're probably not even born again. But number two, you know, the devil is their father. You know, I tried to help them understand that too. But right here, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The enemy of God. There's not neutral ground. And that's what I think many times people believe. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, or chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3. We have to have a foundation under us. You know, anybody that's had a foot injury knows that. I mean, if you got a problem with your foot, you're not stable. I wasn't stable. I'm getting the more stable until I bump my toe. But then it's not as bad as it was. But we have to have the right foundation. We have to have the right foundation. And I said the, not a right foundation. Because, you know, even on Thursday, one gentleman had many, many, many questions, which was kind of nice. Because then it, you know, you know what they're thinking about and can try to help them where they're at. And he's like, I just cannot imagine God not accepting people for them. No, you know, being sincere is basically what he was saying. You know, and how is God, what if there's somebody out in a jungle someplace and, you know, there's not a missionary or whatever. And I'm like, God will get somebody there. God is sovereign in that area where if there is someone that's going to respond, he is going to get them the gospel. And he just had a hard time with that. Had a hard time thinking that all the people that, you know, worship the Creator and didn't know Jesus weren't going to go to heaven. Well, got to believe in Jesus, period. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For the foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's it. A sincere heart is not a foundation to build upon. Because God said in Romans 1, and I took the guys there, Romans 1 is all men are without excuse. Everybody is without excuse. But we read here, there is no other foundation, only Jesus Christ. Let's turn to John 14. John 14. This is one of the things that we should definitely be able to prove to others from our own Bible. And sometimes it's easy to say, well, you know, I know the verses are there, but where are they? And actually turn to there and show them right here. Here is the verse. John 14 in verse 6. John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The, if I remember my English, the is a definite article. Not an indefinite article. Is that right? Did I get that right? Like, a is an indefinite article because it doesn't define specifically what is being talked about. If Jesus was a way, then that means there's more ways. But that's not what the Bible says. Jesus isn't a way. He's the way. And it's very specific. Very specific. Let's also turn to Acts 4:12. Acts 4:12. Actually, we'll need to start a little bit before that. We'll start in verse 10. But this is definitely something we should be aware of. Jesus is the only way. And we see here in verse 13 that when Peter proclaimed that Jesus was the only way, they thought he was bold. You know, we don't have to go out of our way to be bold. Just speaking the truth in love will have people accuse us of being overly bold, really. Verse 10, be it known unto you all, in Acts chapter 4, verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him to this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. So Jesus is the way. There's not salvation in any other. Nobody else. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, all they did is give them a little scripture and said, Jesus is the only way. And now they're accusing them of being bold. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. This is definitely something we need to be able to turn in our Bibles and show people. And it should go beyond, well, I know it's in there, and it's someplace over here, and it's in a left-hand column. You know, that's what it is in my Bible, toward the top. We need to be able to turn them there and show them. We need to be able to turn people there and show them, prove to them. And even, like, open it up and, you know, show them the spot and actually underline the words. Verse 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What do Catholics teach? Mary is co-mediatrix. I think that's how you say that word. I'm not positive. I got the definite article part right, so I'm doing good with my English today. But they say Mary has a part. Now, praise God, Mary cooperated, and the Lord Jesus was able to be born of her. But that doesn't make her co-mediator, because the scripture is very plain. There's only one mediator. Co would mean two. Like, if you have co-champions, that means two people were champions. Or co-anything. That means you have two or more in charge. Or having one something or whatever. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And here in two verses, verse 4 and verse 6, we'll have all men to be saved. And then verse 6, who gave himself a ransom for all. That right there proves Calvinistic doctrine's not right. Jesus died for everybody. He died for everybody. And it's sufficient for all, but it only becomes useful when somebody actually makes it happen for them, believes on Jesus. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 then. 1 Corinthians 3. We were talking a little bit on the way into church. I guess more like just had a few sentences, but it was like, we come down 57 here and drove by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it's somebody mentioned, well, how can people be so deceived? You know, how can they get off into something like that? Well, number one, were they ever in the right place to begin with? I think we make that assumption at times about people when they really have not been. But it all comes down to authority. It comes down to authority. And one of the guys Thursday night was like, well, don't you believe there's other scriptures, you know, like Enoch and, you know, these different ones that they found that were written at the same time? You know, I took them to 2 Corinthians. I don't know if it, I think it's 2, I think it's 2:17, bottom left-hand corner. Bottom left-hand corner over here. Yeah, verse 17 of 2 Corinthians, for you're not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Even at the time of Paul, they were corrupting it. Even at the time of Paul. So it shouldn't surprise us that there are other false books that would have been from the same time period. You know, but we got to be open-minded. You know, we've got to just, you know, give everybody, you know, equal authority and so forth. But, you know, that's what the guy's saying. But down the road here, what do they put their authority in? Not just the Bible. Well, really, not the Bible at all. Because they have other scripture, their scripture, so-called, that contradict the Bible. You know, and the guy's like, well, how do you tell which ones are which? Well, if they're contradictory, they both can't be scripture. You know, if they contradict each other. You know, even the Quran. You know, we talked about that, about how the Quran says that Allah has no son. Well, the Bible says he does. So you got to pick one or the other. You can't have both. Both can't be right. Both cannot be right. So we're back here in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For the foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What is the gold, silver, precious stones? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ. You know, what is the wood, hay, and stubble? It's our own thoughts, our own hearts, you know, tradition. It's all going to perish. It's all going to perish. And let's look at Mark 7. Mark 7. Mark chapter 7. You know, and at times it's kind of easy for us to read different things and then, oh, you know, they're living by tradition. But, you know, sometimes we have our own little traditions. You know, and it's called thinking of self. It's called not serving other people like we should. And I know that's not what this passage is talking about. But the point is, we've got to break out of, and it's not a once for all thing, as I already mentioned earlier, but we've got to break out of our old patterns of thinking. You know, because our first response, you know, it's like the little children song, you know, J-O-I, J-O-I, I don't know how the other words, but Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And that we've got to break out of the mold, because you know what? We probably used to think instead of joy, it was yoge. You know, yourself, others, and then Jesus. We got to break out of that. And we need to be careful, too, that we don't think, well, I'm not susceptible to that. Well, sure, we all are. Every one of us are susceptible to that. Because it only takes a moment and we're thinking of self. But Mark chapter 7 here, then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defile, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they washed their hands off, eat not holding the tradition of the elders. Now, if we have any children that they were saying it wasn't important to wash your hands. That was just a tradition. Well, obviously, we need to wash our hands, but the point is of the emphasis they placed on it here. Verse 4, when they came from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. When the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited of me, he shall be free. And ye shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. And the point here is, it's an excuse. You know, I'm going to give to the church, but I'm not going to help my father and mother. Well, obviously, we need to figure out a way to do both. You know, we still need to give what the Lord requires to the church, and then maybe it might be self-sacrifice to help others out. But the point here was, is they had a tradition, and the tradition was negative for them. And instead of having a foundation of the Word of God, their foundation was their own thinking. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Seems like we've been coming here quite regularly to these few verses here. But just like the Pharisees had their tradition of washing things, sometimes we have our tradition of how we respond to things. And we need to remember those, that sequence there, Jesus first, and then others, and then yourself. Now that doesn't mean we sacrifice our health. I mean, sometimes we might sacrifice our health, but it doesn't mean we're up 24 hours a day, you know, killing ourselves. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Bible says love not sleep. It doesn't say do not sleep. You know, and there's a difference. But verse 22 here. Well, let's start in verse 20. Ephesians 4:20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. There's another example right there. Where is the truth? It's in Jesus. He said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth. Jesus is the truth. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, we sometimes have response patterns as husbands, as wives, as children. You know, but we have to put off the things that are not from the Word of God. You know, sometimes our responses might be indifference. You know, sometimes our responses might be irritation. I mean, hopefully our responses are compassion and love and interest rather than irritation or whatever. But, you know, just like they had the tradition of washing the pots and the cups, sometimes we have our own traditions as far as how we handle ourselves in certain situations. 25 years, Brother Bob? 25 years? That's a long time. That's a long time. You know, and best I can tell, there was a time or 20 that both of them had to turn the other cheek, so to speak, and just let it go. This week, probably. What's today? Every day. We have to have enough humility to realize we never are wronged by others to any number or degree that we wrong the Lord. You know, and when we lose sight of that, and we'll turn to our 2 Peter passage that we go to quite frequently. So 2 Peter chapter 1, but so much of it is about what we read there in James. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And we've got to put aside ourselves if we're going to respond correctly. You know, and the Word of God has got to be our lamp and our light. You know, and as it says in Proverbs 3, we cannot lean on our own understanding. You know, sometimes going out to the sheriff's camp, my understanding is this really profitable? But then the next time, you know, something will happen. And even if it didn't happen, it doesn't really matter. Because, see, it's not my job to make something happen. It's my job to give the truth. And it's their job to make something happen. It's that simple. But when we lose focus, you know, it's like the whole idea, you know, Jesus is going to build his church. And if we feel like we've got to do something to build the church, to bring in a whole bunch of numbers, we're going to muddy it all up. We are going to muddy it up because the Bible says just preach the word. The Bible says preach the word. That's our part. God's part is to build the church. 2 Peter 1 and verse 8. 2 Peter 1:8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind. And I know I've mentioned before about coming home from Cedar Springs one night, and it was snowing so hard, it was like you could only see about 5 feet in front of the van. I'll never forget that night, coming through the curves just west of Toes there. What is that, 18 mile? And it was just, I mean, and it's not just the fact that you can't see. It's when the snow's coming down so hard, it like makes your eyes like do buggy things, you know. And it was like it was tough, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And so often this is the breakdown. This is the breakdown. We forget that we're saved. we forget that we have been forgiven. Because when we remember that we have been forgiven, that our foundation is going to be in place. It's going to be on the Lord Jesus. And it's from that foundation that we can forgive others, that we cannot take offense at what other people do, that we can go and preach the word and preach the word, and if there's no results, it doesn't get us down. You know, whatever the situation is, whatever it is. But the key is right here. What are we meditating on? What are we thinking about? And because if we want to be prosperous and successful, we got to meditate day and night. Day and night. And the glorious thing is that God will do it through us. God will, but we have got to yield and let Him have His way. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your love, Your patience, Your mercy, Your long-suffering. We thank You for Your grace in each of our lives, Lord. And we do pray, Father, to, Lord, just know with certainty, Lord, that our foundation is in Christ. There is no other foundation. Everything else is sinking sand. And, Lord, from that foundation of salvation in Christ, we pray, Lord, to just have a foundation of living the Christian life, Father, that we might be fruitful in our relationships, fruitful in our ministries, and God, and most importantly, just fruitful, Lord, in pleasing You. We just thank You for the privileges to be here today and just pray for Your continued blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.